Lord God, we thank you that you are the King. We pray today that you'd be the King of our hearts. Open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds to what you would say today. In Jesus' name, amen. Mate, the spirit of worship and prayer in this place this morning was rocking my socks off. And I just wanted to get right into the word. I wanted to mess with the meeting plan, but anyway, we'll mess with it now. This is one of my favorite verses in the whole of the Bible, and I think it's relevant for today. And so we'll get it up there in a minute. That's from 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land." So I'm just going to smash through this as quick as I can. And what we're going to do is have a time of prayer this morning. You've been praying for our nation. I've been encouraged by seeing how many people on Facebook been praying for our nation. I've been encouraged by listening to the Rhema radio and hearing Mick every day say, "Pray for rain, pray for rain, pray for rain." And when do you stop praying? Either when God tells you to or when you get your answer. That's the only time you stop. So I want to unpack this verse for us this morning, and then we're going to have some time to pray. And we got some raindrops here. You can write some prayers on and stick them on the wall. We might need some blue tack, actually. I didn't get that far. My wife's my organized part. Praise God. But also you might want to, if you're comfortable with this, get in numbers of two or three and pray. I loved hearing some of the prayers, all the prayers this morning. We need to be a praying people. So on your seat says handout. You can follow it through if you want to, if that helps you stay on track and not fall asleep. Number one, I'm talking about praying with power. You noticed I've called it if. You know, a lot of the blessings of God are unconditional. He loves you unconditionally. But some of the blessings of God are conditional. And here in this passage we read if. Sometimes if we fill the conditions God asks us to fulfill, then we get the blessing he wants to give us. But the first thing here is, and it's cool, I believe anyone can pray with power. How good is that? You ever prayed and you felt like your prayers haven't got past the ceiling? You go outside and it doesn't seem to help. I believe anyone can pray with power. I don't know if you've noticed, but God's not fussy who comes to him. Have you noticed that? If you're not convinced of that, just look around. God's not fussy who comes to him. Anyone can come. Anyone, everyone is invited. In the Old Testament, he chose the Israelites to be his people, but they by no way excluded others from seeking and that didn't exclude others from seeking and finding God. It was actually God's will that the Israelites would be such a witness to God that those from all nations would be attracted to him. That was God's purpose in choosing the Israelites in the Old Testament. All those who recognize God and his authority can come to God in prayer. For example, I'll repeat that because I think it's important. Anyone can come. Anyone who recognizes God and his authority can come to God in prayer. For example, in the New Testament, in the story of the 10 lepers, they cried out, "Jesus, Master." Interesting. The Bible records that the one who came back was a Samaritan. He wasn't even a Jew. And Jesus was called to the Jews, the lost children of Israel. He wasn't called to the Samaritans. But here is a Samaritan with faith, and he found healing. Anyone can pray with power. Jesus clearly declares that he had come to the lost sheep of Israel. That meant the Jewish people. However, here we have a Samaritan being healed of leprosy. And we find in the New Testament those who called to Jesus with faith found that they weren't ignored. What does that mean for us today? It means that God's kingdom and his blessings are not exclusive. All, the Bible says, who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So all we've got to do is call on his name. Therefore, if powerful prayer is not about our background, then what does it take to pray prayers that move mountains? Isn't it good that it doesn't matter whether I'm Australian, American, Salvation Army, Jewish, not Jewish. It's not about that. Anyone can come and anyone can pray prayers with power. And so if prayer's not about my background, what does it take to pray prayers that move mountains? Well, I believe these are unpacked in this verse. And the second point there is prayer mixed with humility is powerful. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other one a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. You know what the definition of pride is? Drawing attention to yourself. That's the definition of pride. Definition of humility is drawing attention to God and others. If you want to check how proud you are, just listen to yourself and see how much you talk about yourself. That shows us how proud we are. If you want to know how humble you are, you probably won't even realize you're humble because you're too busy drawing attention to God and other people. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. Remember, you've got to tell God how good you are. Stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, rather than the other, this man went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You know what? I think sometimes when we pray, we can't afford to be worried about what other people think. A lot of people won't pray out loud because they're worried about what other people think. And sometimes we just need to forget about what other people think. What you think about me is none of my business. Praise Jesus. God says he gives grace to the humble but opposes the proud. I remember one day, you know, sometimes we just got to get angry with the devil and get angry with sin and be prepared to do whatever God asks us to do. I remember one day when the Salvos Discipleship School was at Lake Monmora. This is back in 1996 in Melissa's school. And we're praying, had some healing prayer for someone. And I don't know why we're out on the veranda, but we're out on the veranda at Lake Monmora, beautiful over the lake. And you never get planes at Lake Monmora, or not. And the whole time we were there, there's just no planes there. And we're really feeling the power of God and breaking through and felt like there's lots of prayer going on and seeing this person coming into a place of healing, right? And then suddenly this plane come from nowhere. We didn't see it, we just heard it. And it was one of those loud planes. It just went up and down the lake. And we couldn't hear ourselves pray. And I can't even remember what I prayed, but I got so angry with the devil. And I just prayed that plane out of there. And someone came to me later and said, because I wasn't even watching, I was too focused on praying and seeing this person get healed. And someone said to me later, as soon as she prayed, that plane turned around and flew away. What I'm saying is sometimes we've got to get desperate. You know? I don't want to scare you this morning, but sometimes... desperate. How, you know what? You've tried a lot of things to fix a lot of stuff and it hasn't worked. How desperate are you? Maybe you're not desperate enough. It's just a question. How desperate do we have to get? How desperate does our nation have to get before we turn back to God? The Prime Minister's not going to fix it, friends. Neither's the government and neither are you and me. How desperate are we? I don't think we're desperate enough because I haven't heard enough desperate prayers. I'm starting to hear them. I'm starting to hear them. I'm starting to hear them. How desperate do you, how much do you want it? How much do you want your life to be blessed? How much do you want the kingdom to come? How much do we want our nation, the kingdom to come upon our nation, upon a, convince me that you really want it. Convince me. Actually, convince God because he wants it. He's not sure whether we really want it. Because I don't know. The only difference between Australians and New Zealanders is we go, she'll be right, mate. And they go, she'll be right. We'll go, she'll be right. And they go, she'll be right, mate. I think it's the only difference. Apathy rules the roost. I think Maureen nailed it this morning. The church needs to wake up. My dad used to always say, as goes the church, so goes the world. As goes the church, so goes the world. Don't look at the world and judge it. Look at ourselves before Christ and see how we're tracking. Because as goes the church, so goes the world. When we get our act together, friends, we won't have anyone to judge because they'll all be coming to Jesus. Only reason they're not coming to Jesus is they look at us and go, why would you want to be like that? Now, I don't want to be harsh this morning, but come on, come on. If we don't have more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness than the world, then there's nothing in us that's attracting anyone to anything. And if we haven't got that, then we're not walking close enough with Jesus because he's got more than what we need. He's got more love, more peace, more patience, more boldness than you will ever need. All we got to do is hang out with him a bit more. Do you notice the Bible says bad company corrupts good character. You become like who you hang out with. Who are you hanging out with lately? Is it Jesus? If it is, we'll be able to tell. And so will the world. Are we prepared to humble ourselves? Are we prepared to pray crazy prayers, lie on our face before God in public? Are we prepared to humiliate ourselves in order to see God move? God loves humble people, people that care more about his will than their reputation. See, we care more about what we want than what God wants. We wonder why we don't see God move. Have to care more about what God wants than what we want. Prayer mixed with humility is powerful. Number three, prayer mixed with repentance is powerful. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways and then live however you want. It just doesn't work. More often than I would like to have heard over the years, I've heard people say, God hears and answers prayer. And he does, but he doesn't hear and answer all prayer. The Bible says that really clearly. God doesn't hear prayers when there's sin in our heart. Let's look at what the God said to his people through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 58:1 says, declare to my people they're in their rebellion. Interesting word. We've seen some wicked rebellion this week on the TV. And I'll get to it sooner or later. I will preach my message on submission to authority. You know, if you don't like Scott Morrison, you know how to get rid of him. Submit to his authority. It's a biblical principle. Then God will deal with him. If you don't like me, submit to my authority and then God will deal with me. Does that make sense? We don't speak disrespectfully. We don't be rebellious. Rebellion, my friends, the Bible says, is like the sin of witchcraft. Just keep right away from that thing. We are to respect our leaders. And I'm getting there. I'll get there, right? But righteousness exalts a nation. You want to see our land healed? Turn your hearts to Jesus. Turn your hearts to righteousness exalts a nation. We'll get there. When we live and pray this prayer in this verse, God will heal our land. He'll heal our land. And this is what it says in Isaiah 58. For day after day they seek me out. So they pray. They seem eager to know my ways, you know, with their lips at least, as if they were a nation that does what's right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near to them. They even fasted. They're ahead of some of us. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? They're saying this to God. Why have we humbled ourselves? Well, they thought they were humbling themselves. And you have not noticed it. On the day of your fasting, you do as you please. Interesting. And you exploit your workers. See, God is a God of justice. He's never happy with injustice and strife. Isn't that interesting? And in striking each other with wicked fists, wow. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. If you want to take note, that's Isaiah 58 verse 4. You cannot fast. In other words, you can't fast and pray one day and then expect your voice to be heard on high if you go out and live however you want. Our lives have to change. In this kind of fast I've chosen, is this the kind of fast I've chosen, only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? That's what they used to do in the Old Testament times. It looked like humility, but God knows the heart. Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is this not the kind of fasting I've chosen? This is what God's saying to his people. Loose the chains of injustice. Untie the cords of the yoke and set the oppressed free and break every yoke. You know what that looks like? And I want you to pray for this ministry this year. I hope it's okay that I say this, but Dawn wants to launch Rahab Ministries in Long Jetty area. Rahab Ministries is where Christian people go around to brothels on the Central Coast, and they pray for the ladies to get free. And sometimes they take gifts in to the ladies and let them know that there's another way to live life, that there is freedom. That's loosing the cords, my friends, of injustice. That's what it looks like. If we pray and do nothing, I'm not sure God hears us. I'm just not sure. And like Craig was praying for Tim and Nicole this morning, it's got to be something bigger than inside these four walls. It's got to look like something. It's what Joyce Meyer says all the time. If you love God, it's got to look like something. It's got to look like we're doing something. And I know a lot of you do. I love hearing the stories of people in this church who quietly, unassumably help people in lots of different ways. That's loosing the cords of injustice. And then when we do that, God hears our prayers. Is it not to share your food with the hungry, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. In other words, you always believe in God to reconcile your family. Then your light will break forth upon the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call on the Lord, and he will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, pointing finger and malicious talk. Our nation needs to do away with the pointing finger and malicious talk. I've started deleting people's stuff off my Facebook. So if you criticize my prime minister, I don't care which party you go for, and I don't care who's in government, but if you criticize my prime minister, I will block your posts because it offends me. And it should offend me, and it should offend you, and it offends God. And until we learn to respect each other, until we learn to respect authority, we will not see revival in this land. Some of us have to lead the way, friends. Some of us have to lead the way to show respect. Okay, you want your kids to respect you? Well, respect them. You want your kids to respect you? Then you respect the people you meet in the street. We need to change it, friends, and we're the ones who can change it. We're the ones who can love like Jesus loved, and people need to see it. Don't care what people think of you. Just show them a better way. Move in the opposite spirit. When people come to you with criticism, return it with gentleness and love, like our Prime Minister did. Interestingly, he showed grace. He showed grace. Have a look at it. Look at it again. He showed grace. He didn't have to. Okay, we need to show grace when people criticize us. And we need to be like Jesus, basically. We need to be like Jesus. And you will spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs. Interesting verse this, in a sun-scorched land. And he will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Hallelujah. In other words, we can't pray and then go away and do as we please. We can't cry out to God and then cry out against our neighbor. Or worse still, we can't cry out to God and then cry against our brother and sister in Christ and expect our prayers to be answered. We have to have hearts that are soft towards God and what God wants. Repentance is turning away from sin, first in our hearts and then in our actions. We need to hate sin like God hates it. We must give up our sin, our bad heart attitudes, and allow God to change us from the inside out. Now I've just lost myself. I have covered verse 3, haven't I? Number 3. I'm on 4? Up to 4? So this just in case you think I know what I'm doing. I have no idea. Okay? So you don't even have to be smart to follow Jesus. You just have to be surrendered. You just have to be surrendered. God's not looking for your intelligence. He's looking for your heart. And you give him your heart and he'll do things before. Prayer that seeks God's face is powerful. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I think I did it this way because I've left the most important point to last. I've come to believe that the first priority in prayer is to seek God's face. God created us for a relationship and he hasn't changed his mind. God is happy to bless us. He's happier to bless us with answers to prayer often more than we are happy to ask and receive. But he wants to give us more than anything else. He wants to give us himself. A number of years ago, a modern-day American revivalist, Tommy Tenney, wrote a book, and in it he talked about how we need to seek God's heart, seek God's face and not his hand. See, too often we go to God for what we want instead of going to God for him. See, when if my kids come to me just for what they want, I don't feel loved. But if my kids just want to spend time with me, I feel loved. You know what? God has a heart, friends. And the heart of God can be wounded. If you think God is this hard, big police guy in the sky, he's not. He's a loving father with a soft heart. And our actions and our attitudes can wound the heart of God. And that's the kind of thing we need to repent of, is wounding the heart of God with our careless attitudes and coming to him, treating him like a vending machine. He's not a vending machine. He's a person. He's a person of God. He's a spirit. He's a father. And he has feelings. And he cares for you. And when you just turn your nose up at him, you wound his heart. And by his grace, you come back to him and you pray. And he answers your prayers. And then you wound him again. We have to stop wounding the heart of God. We've got to care about what God cares about. We've got to get to, you know what? God can't help but be good. Don't accuse God of things he hasn't done. He's always good. Sometimes I'm guilty of accusing God of things he hasn't done. You know what that just shows? It shows I don't know God well enough. If I'm not convinced that he's always loving, always kind, always good, then I don't know him well enough. And that's not a criticism. Just get to know him. Just get to know him. He's always good. He can't be bad. If God was bad, right, the universe would fall apart. Because he holds the universe together by his holiness. So if God sinned, if God was bad, if God was unkind, if he were, the universe would cease to exist. That's how I know God is always good, always kind, and always loving, and that I can trust him. See, too often we're more interested in what God can do for us than we are interested in God himself. God cares about us, our cause, otherwise he would not have put a plan into place to touch and heal the world, but he cares more about us than our stuff and our situations. I love Paul in Philippians. He says this. He says, I want to know, the verse in chapter 3, it says this. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. He doesn't say, I want to know what Christ can do for me. In our consumer-oriented society, what's in it for me? You know what's in it for you? Death to self. Death to self. Loss of ego. Loss of your will. That's what's in it for you. That's where we need to get to, I believe. Powerful prayer comes from people who are not afraid to get to know God. Actually, getting to know God is one of the best things. People who want to get intimate with God. They're sick of superficial stuff. Who's sick? Who's sick of superficial stuff? I am. I hate, you know, if you're having a conversation with me, and as we get to know each other, we won't stay superficial very long, friend, because I haven't got time for it. I'm here for a good time, not a long time. And I haven't got time to be superficial. I don't think God has either. God has a way of getting to our hearts real quick, if you haven't noticed that. And often I find superficiality is just a way to hide from what's really going on. Let's have a year where we commit to not being superficial. People who want to know God, want to know the real, they're the real deal. They want to know God. It's intimate relationship with God that produces powerful prayer. It's prayer that seeks first and foremost God's face. Do you want to go back to the first slide? I just want us to look at this verse. I'll get the band to come up, and it's your turn to pray, okay? It's your turn to pray hard and desperate. Do you want to grab some pens from up the back for me, Jess? Is that all right? There's some pens in the buckets up there. If you want to come and grab a what we're saying are raindrops today, our land needs rain. But I believe rain is a sign of God's blessing. And I honestly believe, and you can, I don't know, I don't care what you think of me, sorry. I actually think God's withholding the blessing to get our attention. I actually think that. I might be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But I've never seen our nation in such a mess. And I've never seen our nation to this degree of being unchristian. Interesting coincidence, don't you think? I think it's time for us to pray, to humble ourselves, to turn from our wicked ways. And you know what? And this verse, if you study it, it does. That word land, it literally means land. I believe there's a direct connection towards between righteous living and the healing of our environment. You want to be an environmentalist? Then live a righteous life first. Righteousness exalts a nation. Now, if you want to join a group that rescues koalas and possums, absolutely go for that. I think that is a righteous thing to do. But don't do that and neglect to have a righteous relationship with God. A righteous relationship with God means that I let Jesus drive the wheel. He's in charge. I have no unconfessed sin in my life. That when the Holy Spirit convicts me of something, I'm quick to change that. Now, God will forgive us again and again and again, but over time we change. I haven't changed overnight, but I have changed. You probably haven't changed overnight, but as we keep going back to Jesus and walking with Him, over time we change. So it's not about being perfect. It's just about being in relationship with Him and close relationship with Him. And I believe that when we walk in close relationship with Him, God will heal our land. He will touch our hearts. He'll touch the hearts of our neighbors. He'll touch the hearts of our work colleagues. Things will change. Things will change. We just want to, I love this song. I love this song. It is well. It is well. You know, circumstances come and go. Sometimes they're tough, sometimes they're easy. What I pray is when the rain comes that we don't forget God. That when the rain comes and it's coming, that we won't forget to pray then. That we won't forget to thank God. That we won't forget to walk in close relationship with Him. So this is your opportunity. And we've got the raindrops here. So that if you want this to be a private deal, we don't know your handwriting. Write your prayer on there. Stick it on the wall if you want to. I don't care. Also, it says where two or three agree with anything on earth, it'll be done in heaven. So if two or three of you want to get together and you feel comfortable with that to pray, just in these moments for the next 5 or 10 minutes, we just want this to be a house of prayer. Jesus wanted His church to be a house of prayer. And so this morning, we want this to be a house of prayer where we follow the outline of that verse, you know, where we humble ourselves. We don't care whether our prayer sounds right or not. We just pray. If there's anything in our hearts, you might have a friend close enough here that you walk with that you might want to confess a sin to today and see healing come in your own life. Let me pray, then let's worship. I'm going to be pushing this year too, hey? I don't know whether I need to get up at the beginning of church and just encourage you in this, but I want you to engage in worship. I don't want you to be, you know, maybe if you're here the first time or you're a visitor or something, you know, sit back and relax and watch what's going on, that's fine. But I tell you what, if you're a regular attender, I expect you to engage in worship in this house. I expect engagement. Because you know what? God's done everything He needs to do. He's waiting for us to respond. He's waiting for us. Stop waiting for Him. He's waiting for us to engage with Him. So now's your opportunity to engage with Him. Now's your opportunity to pour out your heart to God. For maybe yourself, maybe your marriage, maybe your family, maybe your situation, but also for our nation. in Jesus' name.